In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we are at this now second Sunday of the Great and Holy Fast. The fast is a time period that we're very familiar with as individuals. It comes up every year before Pascha. And we're also very familiar with the fast as a church. The 40-day fast goes back to the earliest times in the history of Christianity. We go back to even the first century. St. Ignatius of Antioch, who died in the year 108, he told his flock, "Do not neglect the 40 days. It constitutes an imitation of Christ's way of life." Way back in the early days, the apostles taught their disciples to be like the Lord in everything, which included fasting for 40 days as he did in the wilderness. And since that time, the church engages and encourages us to make the most of these 40 days. And the fast is, of course, much more than a diet. It's not just going on the Christian version of the Atkins or something like that. The fast has to do with every aspect of our life. St. Tikhon of Zadonsky says about fasting, he says, "Let your mind fast from vain thoughts. Let your memory fast from remembering evil. Let your will fast from evil desire. Let your eyes fast from bad sights. Let your ears fast from wicked songs and slanderous whispers. Let your tongue fast from condemnation, blasphemy, falsehood, deception, foul language, and every idle word. And let your hands fast from theft. Let your legs fast from walking evil paths." Fasting is something that involves the whole man, both soul and body. Fasting is something which encompasses every aspect of our life. Today we'll look at, as the Church gives us St. Gregory Palamas, this great spiritual giant, some teachings on how we can fast better, how we can make the most of these 40 days. We've spoken about St. Gregory in the past. We've gone into his life in detail. Quick summary, he's from the 14th century. Originally lived in Constantinople, then he went to Mount Athos, and finally Thessalonica. He was a scholar, a monastic, then he became a priest monk and finally a bishop. He wrote many writings on the spiritual life and dogmatic theology, and many of his sermons are preserved to this day. The themes of his writings covered stillness, the cleansing of the heart, the healing of the soul, and the direct experience of God through his divine energies. And he spoke about this path of the Christian life that we're engaged so intently in during these 40 days as something not just for monastics, but also something for people living in the world. He spent time on Mount Athos, and then he went back into the world and he shared this teaching that these spiritual giants before him had written down. And we'll speak about three simple things today from those teachings. First, the noose. Does everybody have a noose? Not what you think. What is a noose? Does anyone know what a noose is?
Is it the soul?
It's a part of the soul. The eye of the soul. Sometimes the noose is called the mind or the heart, but really it encompasses both the mind and the heart. The noose is the eye of the soul that focuses on things or focuses on God. The Lord says in His Sermon on the Mount, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? St. Gregory Palamas expounds upon this passage, which we recently actually spoke about in our Bible study. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we looked at this very verse. And we spoke about how the Lord takes the body to show us what's happening with the soul. Just as the body has an eye, and through the eye passes light, and it goes within to the brain, and then we begin to see images from the outside because of this light passing into us. So it is with the soul. The soul is able to receive the light of God that passes within and makes an imprint. And that's how we become children of the light, sons and daughters of the day. The nous, the eye of the soul, has to be directed towards God, who is the light of all, the light of life. Now, the nous can be scattered on many things. The nous can be focused on many things but God. We gave an example in that Bible study, and I'll repeat it because I think it's interesting, maybe a little bit humorous. It's a fun example. We spoke about how somebody might be driving to work in the morning, and they pass on their way a billboard. And on the billboard, they see an advertisement for the Baconator. Everybody knows what the Baconator is, I think, right? It's a sandwich from Wendy's that is loaded with bacon. So much so that the bacon, I think, overwhelms the rest of the sandwich, the Baconator. And I mentioned that not to tempt you. I know it's only the second Sunday, we've got a long way to go. But so that we can use it as an illustration. Now this man is passing this sign, this billboard, every single day on the way to work. And he loves the Baconator. And it's so early on in the fast. Every time he passes by, that billboard, that image, passes, the light reflects into his eye, into his brain, into his mind. And he has then, at that point, a decision to make. Is he going to allow that image to be imprinted upon his soul? Well, this is the moment of truth. This is the moment of watchfulness. If he decides, yes, I'm going to let that enter into my mind and into my heart, most likely, at some point in the fast, on one of those 40 days, or God forbid, even during Holy Week, the next seven, he's going to pull into Wendy's and he's going to have a Baconator. Because he's already digested that thought. He swallowed it. He's feasting on it in his mind and in his heart. And then he's going to act upon it. Because he wasn't practicing watchfulness. But we said, if he decided, as he passed by the billboard and he sees the sign, he could say to himself, it's the fast. I'm not going to partake of that. And when he does that instantly, what does his soul partake of? The grace of God. The grace of self-control. Or patience. So the opportunity was either for sin or for righteousness. And the practice of watchfulness lets us make the right decision. For those who are tempted, by the way, for the Baconator, I'll leave you with something to consider. A single Baconator is 610 calories, sandwich only. A double Baconator, 980 calories. And a triple, 1,150 calories. Wow. So think about that if you're tempted. But of course, we should be thinking about God and the practice of his commandments and growing in virtue. Because virtue really is the energy of God. And that's what we're meant to participate in. That's how we share in the life of God, by partaking of his virtue. So St. Gregory tells us how to be watchful. He says, as in a fire, he who voluntarily puts it out does so by removing the matter of the fire, rather than fighting the flames themselves. He says this happens with the carnal passions as well. It's very difficult to fight against temptations that are manifestly present with us. It's probably easier, if we're tempted by that Baconator, to take a different route to work. Not to look up, maybe, to keep our eyes focused on the road, to remove these temptations. That is a great assistance to watchfulness. And that's actually what we do in the Great Fast. We try to simplify our life, removing possible temptations, so that not only are we not overcome, but so that our minds and our hearts can focus on God. We can look at Him without distraction. And, brothers and sisters, for our day and age, perhaps the greatest distraction that we have is probably in our pocket right now, or in our purse, or if you've done well, you've left it out in the car, maybe.
Good.
Our smartphones, right? The smartphone presents to us every form of temptation, and we have it wherever we go. All of these images are imprinted within us, and we're overwhelmed by them. A good practice for watchfulness is actually to put your smartphone down, to maybe even turn it off at different times, just to set it aside. That could be actually the main matter of the fire that enkindles temptation for us. And the way to defeat a fire is to remove that matter, as St. Gregory tells us. Finally, we'll look at one more teaching that St. Gregory has. We've spoken about the noose, the eye of the soul. We've spoken about watchfulness. And now we'll speak about prayer. Prayer is what the Christian does. Prayer is the breath of the soul. Without prayer, the soul begins to suffocate and die. And prayer is, of course, afforded to us through this watchfulness, through the removing of these distractions. We have more time and availability to focus on God. Now, St. Gregory, as I mentioned, has many of his homilies recorded. I'll share with you something directly from one of his homilies. And the homily is entitled, On How All Christians in General Must Pray Without Ceasing. Of course, that's not St. Gregory's teaching. Praying without ceasing is what St. Paul tells us to do in the scriptures. He says, Let no one think, my brother Christians, that it is the duty only of priests and monks to pray without ceasing, and not of laymen. No, no, it is the duty of all of us Christians to remain always in prayer. Every Christian in general should always strive to pray, and to pray without ceasing. This very name of our Lord Jesus Christ, constantly invoked by you, will help you to overcome all difficulties. And in the course of time, you will become used to this practice, and you will taste how sweet is the name of the Lord. For when we sit down to work with our hands, when we walk, when we eat, when we drink, we can always pray mentally and practice this mental prayer, the true prayer pleasing to God. Two things I'll point out from this quote. One, he said, when we sit down to work, when we're walking, when we're eating, when we're drinking, we can pray. But what is it that we normally do when we're sitting down to work, or we're walking, or we're eating? We're normally looking at something, right? We're tempted to look at some kind of distraction, some kind of media. Something is always coming through our ears, always through our eyes. These are opportune moments to pray, if we can just turn off that distraction just for a moment. And then what does he say to us? When we make this practice ours, the practice of the Holy Fathers, the practice of the Apostles, this practice of constant prayer, we will begin to taste how sweet the name of the Lord is. Probably some of you have tasted that sweetness in prayer. You know how good it is to have the name of God in your mind and in your heart, to have this closeness to the Lord. When we have that, we could drive by 1,000 billboards. We could even look at our smartphone. We could face any temptation because we'll be totally enwrapped in God. This is what we seek to acquire, this full union with God, through our nous, through watchfulness, through prayer. Because after all, this is what constitutes the very life of Christ. And this is why we've been given these 40 days, to partake of the life of Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.